veteran is someone who at one point in their life wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including their life.
So I was in the Army from 1987 to 1992.
I served 24 years as a soldier.
Became a Navy hospital corpsman in 1967.
Served active duty in the Army from 1988 to 1996.
Went into the Marine Corps from 2010 to 2014.
Active duty Air Force from 77 to 1983.
Grunt in Vietnam, 1970-71, year in the jungle.
Welcome to Common Valor. Real stories from those who served in America's military, brought to you by VetFlix, a leader in documenting and sharing the veteran experience. Today's story was part of a veteran workshop celebration hosted at the Currier Museum of Art in Manchester, New Hampshire. Over 3 months, veterans prepared their stories and then delivered them to a live audience.
Jack Mallory served in the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment of the U.S. Army. Jack's story tells us about his time in Vietnam during 1969 and 70, and the ghost he's lived with ever since.
I enlisted in the Army in 1966. I went to Officer Candidate School. I spent 2 years in the 8th Special Forces Group in Panama, and I went to Vietnam in the May of 1969 as a 23-year-old captain. Why they made a 23-year-old captain, I've wondered ever since. The story is called The Little Girl at My Door. She doesn't knock. She comes through the door uninvited. I've read hundreds of books about Vietnam, histories, memoirs, analyses. None of them mention the little girl. I don't understand little girls. Both of my kids are boys. It took a long time for them to learn to knock before they came into a room. She'll never learn. She's dead. She's been dead as long as I've known her, but she still comes in without being asked, like the rest of the war. I was going from landing zone Andy into the Vietnamese unit in An Lock. Right outside the wire, I noticed several children. Something wasn't right. I told my Jeep driver to head on over there. About a half a dozen kids were gathered around a young girl, maybe 10 years old, lying under a tree. She wasn't visibly injured, but pale, motionless, and dead. Through my interpreter, her friends told me that she'd told us that she'd been up in the tree gathering firewood. She'd triggered a booby trap set up by the local Viet Cong. There'd been a hand grenade stuffed into a can with a wire stretched across the road in the hopes of catching the antenna of one of our vehicles. She'd knocked the grenade out. It had detonated. She was apparently untouched, except for a small hole in the center of her chest, about the size of the end of my thumb. She had bled out internally. Not my fault. Not directly, our fault. During my year in Vietnam and in the years after, as the futility of the war became increasingly apparent, she was a reminder, a refutation of any attempt to justify the war with geopolitical bullshit or the trivia of whose fault it was. She was a dead little girl in the wrong place at the wrong time, killed in a war that didn't have to happen. And because I played a tiny part in that war, she came to my door. I had had friends die in the war. I may have killed North Vietnamese soldiers in the war, but she's the one that's at my door. The little girl is the reason I go outside, into nature. She follows me there, too, sometimes. But there's a lot more out there, a lot more to take my mind off of her and the rest of the war. There are things to listen to, things to see, a lot to focus on. She fades into the background, almost disappears completely sometimes. The camera helps, too. I didn't take many pictures in Vietnam. Very few of those survived the war and the decades and the divorces after. Some memories have survived. I remember green and brown, jungle and dust, mud during the rainy season. I don't remember beauty. The few photographs in my memories are of death and destruction. I served with the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment, assault vehicles and tanks. Everywhere we went, we destroyed. Farmers' fields, rubber plantations, jungle. Green and brown. The colors of bodies as they decay into the earth. My memories are green and brown. Very little stands out. No bright colors. In the jungle or in the rubber, it was dark, almost gloomy. And no animals. Nothing alive except a few villagers and the enemy. We were an armored unit. Our lightest fighting vehicle weighed 12 tons. Our heaviest, 50 tons. Everywhere we went, the ground shook. Everyone, everything knew we were coming. The Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese had plenty of time to get out of the way or get ready. Jungle critters just disappeared. Today, I know jungle and forest as home to countless critters. Working in Central America, I've seen toucans and macaws, howlers and spider monkeys, snakes and iguanas. In the woods and on the waters in New England, I see deer and moose, snakes and snappers, loons and herons. When I'm outdoors in New Hampshire, bright colors are everywhere. There are the variety of greens, green needles and leaves of the mixed forest in the summer. And in autumn, much of that green turns to red, yellow, and orange. In the winter, the shine of the ice and snow can be blinding. In the summer, flowers stand out brightly along the edges of rivers and lakes. And year-round, there are the blacks and grays and silvers of basalt and granite. Any of that can be reflected in the water with all the colors of the sky. The animals of the woods and waters are further distraction from the little girl. On the trails and on the waves, I have seen animals as small as spiders and as big as moose. I've spotted a young mink, curiously spotting me. I have sadly watched a raccoon coming down a tree with a face full of porcupine quills. My camera has caught a young eagle against fall foliage, osprey launching themselves from the tops of snags, harlequin ducks against the brilliance of the ice. The camera focuses my attention on a narrow part of the outdoors, so narrow there's hardly room for the little girl. Part of that concentration is technical. Camera settings for the light and the movement. Part of it is aesthetic, composition, framing, waiting for a cloud to pass or for the sun to sink behind a hill. And sometimes I just wait for the osprey to return to its nest or for the loon to surface after diving for fish. Much of my hiking and paddling is done alone, but I often share my outside time with someone who understands my need for the woods and water. For her own reasons, she also finds peace and joy in the natural world. She doesn't see the little girl, but she knows why I see the little girl. Part of being outdoors is physical. Biking, walking, running, rowing, paddling. I used to think it was just the exercise I was after. It was the 70s, the running decade. I thought I was doing it for physical health, to keep slim and fit. I was one of millions of people in their new running shoes, pounding the roads and the trails, going to the gym. I thought it was for my body. I had no idea that exercise and the outdoors were an attempt to leave Vietnam and the little girl behind. When I came back from Vietnam, I began to work with Vietnam veterans against the war, living in Washington, D.C., organizing opposition to the war. urban life, consumed by demonstrations, negotiations, politics. The war was a monolithic evil. Personal details were lost in its immensity. And the Rolling Rock and the Boone's Farm and the pot helped keep the little girl and the other details at a distance. After two furious years, I burned out on anti-war work, even as the war itself burned out. But then there was school, a BA, graduate school, field work, a dissertation, jobs, a couple of marriages, career changes, kids. In and around the rest of life, I read about the war, those hundreds of books, trying to make sense out of it. I graduated from cheap beer and wine to cheap scotch. Decades after the war ended, it all fell apart. I retired, read more about the war, had another scotch, still couldn't make any sense out of it. My marriage crumbled, I had more scotch, until even I knew I was in trouble. I quit drinking, and a Vietnam vet friend of mine suggested PTSD and help from the VA. It took a while. But sober, retired, and divorced, in therapy, I began understanding what the little girl was doing in my room. And I could also begin to understand the importance of the outdoors. I had the time to both be outdoors and think about why, to understand that the outdoors and my camera were a refuge from the little girl. In 2001, I returned to Vietnam with my family, one of my boys about the same age as the little girl when she was killed. When I saw young Vietnamese children, I often thought about her, about how her life might have been if she hadn't gone to gather firewood that morning. Other scenes of Vietnam at peace were reminders of lives that have survived the war and lives that have been built since. Vietnam seems full of color today. My photos are full of greens, brighter than the greens that I remember. There's the scarlet and the gold of Buddhist temples, the pink of pigs on their way to the market, children in their clean, bright school clothes. People living their daily lives help me understand that Vietnam is a living place with living people, not a war, not a little girl lying dead in the woods. After nearly a decade since I started thinking more clearly, understanding what she and the outdoors mean in my life, I realized there's been a change. Like my understanding of Vietnam as a living place, I can see nature the same way, as a world of its own. I hike and paddle now to enjoy the woods and water, more important than their value as an escape. I guess I'm ambivalent about her. Would I want her to go away, never to come through my door again? No. She's part of my life. She's not always welcome. She's not always comfortable to be around. She reminds me of a part of my life that I might wish had never happened. But that shaped my life in a way that made me who I am. She sent me into the woods and onto the water, and for that I will be forever grateful. And I dedicate this story to her.
For more veteran stories, visit vetflix.org. Subscribe, rate, and review at iTunes. And thanks.